Good morning to each one this morning. Bring you greetings in the worthy name of Jesus, the Creator that came to the created, came to us, so that we, the created, can someday spend eternity with the Creator. And that's a wonderful thought. And my mind kind of went to the Psalm of David. In Psalm 95, it says this: "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." And that's what I want to focus on this morning, is that we worship. We're coming into Christmas. And my desire is that this Christmas season, that we would worship and bow down to the Lord, our Maker. Because Jesus was thinking about the baby, and we have some babies in our midst, some young lives, some unborn babies yet here. And that's wonderful. But this baby Jesus, see, these babies in our midst, they are created. They are created beings. And it did not happen. A baby that is born is not created at birth. It is created at conception. An unborn baby is a living baby. We just never forget that. The world's getting that mixed up and thinks that you can kill these kind of unborn infants. But that's not true. It is a life. But see, Jesus, we sang that song, and I was going to mention that song, but Lamar led it. We sang the first song we sang, that Jesus was begotten, not created. You see, Jesus always was. I want to focus on that this morning. The message of the title this morning, and I will say hopefully my voice holds up. I do feel much better than I did. The last time I preached here was 2 weeks ago, and that night I went and preached at Truxerville, and on the way home I had a sore throat, and it was downhill from there for about a week, a little over a week, and then we started to get back uphill, so I'm on the upswing, but I'm not sure exactly how it's going to go this morning, but I figured I can always just quit. This morning for a title, I have my message titled, "Am I Worshiping the Creator or the Created?" And I don't know if it's a good title this morning, but I was just looking at the world around us, and I've been pondering in my own mind, and maybe it'd be good for you to think in your mind this morning, and that is, what is the biggest thing in your mind when you think about Christmas? Because we're surrounded in this world that there are so many things that must happen before Christmas, so many things people have to get done, so much, and we see it around us. And not long ago, I was visiting a potential customer, and I was in his house, and he was an older man, and something about older people and dark houses. I just don't like dark houses, but did read recently that if less lights are on, you have less problem with depression, because darkness helps you sleep better. But anyway, that's a whole different little trail that I read about. But I was in this house, and there's this older man in there, and it was fairly dim in there, and they had this tree in the corner, and it was all lit up. It had glitter all over. It had lights, you know, flashing on and off, and thought about the amount of time that it probably took to set that up, and the amount of attention that it brought in that home. When I went in, you just couldn't miss it. It was there, and it was stately. And I wondered, in that home, what gets the biggest attention over Christmas? I just wondered that. Is it the Savior, or was it the decor? And then this week, I was in at the mall to sign the papers, baby, to go in there and sing. And I'm in there in the management's office, and this old man comes walking in, and he's hobbling, he's carrying two bags. And I was waiting for the lady to get off the phone so I could talk to her. And I just strike up conversation. I said, "Oh, you must be here for some type of maintenance." And he's like, "No, I'm just Santa in disguise. I'm here to play Santa for today." And I didn't really know what to say. I thought, so here is Christmas. Christmas to me is about Jesus, is about the birth of my Lord. And it's so confusing to so many people and my boys were at the town yesterday, and one of my boys said last night, some fellow said, "Hey, are y'all ready for Santa?" And they didn't know what to do with that. We shouldn't know what to do with that. Christmas is not about Santa. It's not about trees. It's not about lights. It's about Jesus Christ. And one thing I'm really, really missing this year, and that is that I can't sing. And I like to sing Christmas songs. And I don't know if maybe Lamar could lead a few Christmas songs when I get better, simply so I can sing one or two. For y'all that don't like Christmas songs, I'm sorry, but please don't lead a minor. But I like to sing Christmas songs, because there's something beautiful about that. So I've missed out on all our Christmas singings this year. But I was able to stand there at the mall on Friday night, And I was blessed to stand behind the people singing and listen to those words and this, to just view, just watch people. I had no reason to sing. I couldn't sing. So I just watched people, and it was amazing to see people stop, and they would look, and they would smile. And some of them would walk past the group, and I was standing in the back, and more than one looked at me and with a nod of appreciation said, "Thank you, that was nice." And I thought, what was it that made this little group of people, it actually wasn't very many, and my family told us because I put the 50 thing out here last Sunday, and I felt bad about that because we could have used a few more singers in there. But it was beautiful. But it's because of simplicity, and I think so many people in our world get so caught up in making sure they have the right gift and making sure they're making the right person happy on Christmas that they actually forget that it's not about who we are, it's about worshiping Jesus. And the ladies that I had dealt with, the coordinator or whatever that signed up, she just, when we got finished, she just couldn't get over telling me how glad she was we came in, how nice this was. At the same time, she told me that it cost them all $1,700 to let us come in and sing. Because they have this, they're signed on with contracts to play music through their sound system, and in order to be able to shut that down and let a group come in and sing, it cost them. And she said pre-COVID it cost them $50. That's the reason it was easy for us to get in. And the reason it's been harder is because they have to see if their budget allows the funds. And she said, this year it did. And she said, I'm so glad you came, because she said, I was so blessed. And we were singing right there outside of a jewelry store. I'm sure a lot of people was buying jewelry this time of the year. It's, you know, you got to get the right thing to make the right person happy. And this lady came out of that store, and she came over to me. She said, I'm the store manager here. She says, do you mind if when you all get done singing, if I give all the children here teddy bears? Well, no, I didn't care. But what in that woman, what did she see that, and so I'm sorry, all you children that didn't come, your parents didn't bring you, y'all missed teddy bears, but we had teddy bears from 14 years old and down, everyone got a teddy bear. And I wondered, what made those people give out teddy bears? What was it about our presence? What was it about our singing that made them want to do that? And I'm going to suggest this morning it was simply because they saw a peace and joy that can only be found when we worship Jesus, you see? And I'm just going to throw this out there because it went through my mind. Because sometimes I think that we can get caught up in the commercialized Christmas. Now, I'm not saying we are. I'm not saying that we aren't. I'm just saying we need to look and think about what is our main focus of Christmas and getting ready for Christmas. And I had to wonder if it's possible someday our children could be walking through the mall on a Friday evening and there would be a group of people standing there singing, and they would stop and look at the gifts in their hands and look at everything they have to do yet and think, what is this? Isn't this beautiful, just this group of people standing here singing? Can that be Christmas for us? Thought about Jesus, and we're going to go to some scriptures here after a while, but thought about Jesus, and when he came, it was just this lowly birth. Yet those wise men from the east, they came in, and they came before this young child, and it says that they kneeled down and they worshiped. And that's what brought me to this verse. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And I'd like the first part of the message here to just simply think about. Well, I want to say one more thing yet, because this is something that you need to answer. You need to answer. Everyone in this congregation needs to answer, and I need to answer myself. And it's a question that when I was thinking about the commercialized Christmas, and I was thinking about this Christmas tree in this man's house in the corner, and I was thinking about Santa Claus, and I had these thoughts going through my mind, and I thought, will there ever be Christmas trees in the corners of the living room in this congregation? Is that a possibility? And recently we were in another community, and a lady shared with my wife that her son asked her why they didn't have a Christmas tree. And she looked at her son and she said, well, I'll have to think about that for a while. Now, I have a question for you this morning, and that is, how long would you have to think about why you don't have a Christmas tree in your house to answer that question? Do you have an immediate answer, or is that something that, well, I'll have to think a little while? And see, when I thought about that for myself, I decided that the more the commercialized Christmas we bring into our homes, the longer it's going to take for us to think of a good reason to not bring in a Christmas tree, is what I think. And I can give you my reason. I have two or three reasons right off the top of my head I can give them to you. But I prefer not to do that. I'd prefer after church to ask you your reason. Because, see, if that mother cannot give her son a reason why they don't bring in a Christmas tree, and if she's not sure herself, I believe a Christmas tree will come in. And, see, I believe that Christmas tree in that man's corner of his living room, it was created. The evergreen was created, and I think it is beautiful, but at the same time, I think that has taken the place of the Creator in worship, is what I think. And everyone needs to have their tree. But where is the worshiping of the Creator, the Almighty One, the baby, the Jesus? So this morning, for a message, I would like to think about this worship. And I would like to think about Jesus as the Creator. Of course, we think of God as the Creator, but we have many places in Scripture, and we're going to look at a lot of Scripture this morning, and I don't apologize for that. But we have Jesus the Creator, and we know that Jesus was in creation. I want to look at Jesus as the Creator, and then I want to look at Jesus coming to the created so that the created can go again to the Creator. And so when I was thinking about the Jesus being the Creator and thinking about the creation story, we read in Genesis about God created the world, and we know that. But if you go to Genesis 1, verse 26, we have God referring to us. And God says, Genesis 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So who is the our? Well, it's God the Father, and I believe it's God the Son, and it's God the Holy Spirit. It is the creators, okay? And then we have the same over in chapter 3, verse 22, when man fell into sin. We again have God referring to the creators as a plural form, and he says, behold, the man is become as one of us. So when Adam and Eve fell, they became as one of us, similar to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in that they knew sin. But that separated them from God. See, I believe when God created man, he had a plan that there would be this direct connection. But when man fell, it created this separation. This sin became a problem. And Sherman preached about the atonement. And God had a plan for that through Jesus Christ. And that's the reason Jesus was born. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we also know that Jesus was part of the Trinity in the beginning, because in Genesis chapter 11, we have the Tower of Babel. And here God says again, let us go down. Verse 7, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, they all one language. This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to go to. Let us go down and there confound their language. Again, we have let us, and I believe this is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then we can turn over. I want to go to the Gospel of John now, where John lays this out very well. John chapter 1, and I want to read the first 14 verses of John chapter 1. You can read about this word that was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and this was Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then we have this verse 3, which Jesus is the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him. We're talking about Jesus here. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You see, Jesus, this baby, again, I'm going to say, he's not like the babies in this mess that was created. Jesus was before, but he came as a baby. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is who Jesus is. He was not created, he was creator, okay? And Paul confirms this in his letters. You don't have to turn there, but I have a few of Paul's writings here in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6 we have. Paul was writing, talking to the Corinthians about this thing of things offered to idols, and he was impressed on them that the idols are nothing. And he said, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. So, by whom are all things? Jesus Christ is creator, was creator. We also have him writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians 3. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. And we have in Colossians 1:15-17, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. This is Jesus. This is the Christ. This is the child that was born. This was before he was born. This is before he came to earth, okay? And we have the same thing in Hebrews. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we can just look at time and time again before Christ came as a baby that he was creator. Now I want to turn to Matthew 1, because this was a new little, I think about when you read the Bible, there's new little things that stand out to you. And this stood out to me when I read the story here in Matthew, the Christmas story of the birth of Jesus. And this is where the angel comes to Joseph, because see, Mary was with child, and she was espoused to Joseph. And when Joseph found out about this, he just wasn't sure what to do about this, because this made a problem, okay? And so the angel came, and I find it interesting what the angel tells Joseph here in verse 21, but I think we're going to, just because it's part of the story here of Jesus' birth, we'll just start here at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save what? His people. The people he created, he shall save his people from their sins. And it's just stood out to me that is exactly right. Jesus Christ, the Creator, created these people, and then he came down in order that he could save these people from their sins so they could be reconnected to the Creator. So, this is why Jesus had to come, because our relationship was broken, and so Jesus came. And then we have this creator coming to the created, and I want to look at that here in the second part. And it came through Abram. We could go back, and you don't have to for sake of time and turn into all the scriptures that I have this morning, but in Genesis chapter 12, we have God coming to Abram, and he says about this promise of this future child that was going to be born. And God said unto Abram, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So we start to see this thing where there's a prophecy. There's somebody coming. It's going to be a child born that is going to, that everyone can be blessed by. And then we have in chapter 22 of Genesis 15, 18, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time, saying this, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of thy enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So we have these prophecies, and you can read through the Old Testament, and there's more and more prophecies that talk about this coming of a child, Jesus Christ. And now I want to go to Matthew chapter 1, and I think we're already there because we never left there. And we have, after we read the Old Testament, the prophesies of the coming of Jesus Christ to as an infant, then we have the first verse in chapter 1, and says, the book of generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then you can read all the verses, and it gives you all the lineage from Abram all the way down until this child came. And we have this in Luke chapter 1, we have this wonderful story then of this baby actually coming to the created. And it's interesting that Mary was created, right? So the creator came into the womb of the created, which it's beyond what we can think about. Our minds can't go that far because we're limited in our ability to understand, but it's a blessing to think about, and it's a reason that we worship this creator. I would like to read now about this creator being born to this virgin in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And it's another little thing that stood out to me recently, and that is, we live in a day and age where many, many people find out what they're going to have before the child's born. But you know, in the Bible times, I believe there's only a few people that knew that when they were going to have a child, whether it was going to be a son. And that was if the angel came and told them that you're going to have a son. And that was one of the beautiful things here of Mary. And she knew that she was going to have a child, and it was going to be a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know no man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary, what does she have to say? She's just said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And we have, at this instant, we have the angel coming down and saying, This creator is now going to come into the womb of the created. And Mary accepted it, and it was beautiful. And then we have the creator coming into the womb of the created, and then he was born. And in Luke chapter 2, we have this, And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And we have now the Creator being born, and he's laid in this manger. And Lamar explained a little bit what this manger was. That was a new little thought to me. But I was thinking from the manger standpoint that one of the men probably that Jesus created made a little manger, and then they laid Jesus in it. And I wondered if the man that made that manger, and it's kind of a little side note, but I assume this manger was in a stable. So somebody, being a builder, somebody built the stable. Somebody probably put the little manger together. And they had no idea when they did that, that their Creator was going to come and lay in it. And it just blessed my thought that I know that we build things, and I'm sure the Creator already came. He's not going to lay on anything I built. But it's interesting how God just used a simple article of a man that he created to lay, for his son to lay in. And it was, amazing. The Creator coming to the created. And I guess I kind of figured that it was probably something kind of crude. I don't know if it was really nice, but probably crude. It was probably just simple, and that's where this. But you see, in this little room, there was nothing that needed to be magnificent. The glory was in the child. Now I'd like to look at a little bit of the response of people when they realized that this was actually the Creator coming to them. I'd like to look at the response of Elizabeth, a couple of the people here. And then I want, at the end, to look at what our response should be. So we have in Luke 1 here, we have Mary coming to Elizabeth. And when she gets there, this is what Elizabeth says when she realizes that the Creator is coming to the created. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord, Elizabeth was recognizing that this baby that was Mary was carrying was actually her own Lord. And that is because it wasn't just a baby, it was Jesus Christ. And then we have the shepherds. After the baby was born, we have the shepherds understanding that's who this was. And I'd like to read verse 8 to 14 now. This is right after the baby was born. And there was in the fields, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts doing what? Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." On earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste. And I was thinking about Lamar's thought there is what happened to the sheep, because this week on Tuesday we plan to make a little trip to Belize to see my wife's sister. And as farmers, we have issues because somebody has to take care of the animals, you know. But it wasn't a problem in this case. They just, "Let's go." And I don't know, maybe the angels did stay there with the sheep. I kind of like that thought. But I don't think any angels are going to stay with our animals. So we had to ask somebody here to help come take care of them. But it is, the shepherds just said, "We're going to go and see what this is." And it says they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known the saying that was told them concerning the child. So we have these shepherds came, and they realized this was not just a baby. This was the Son of God. This is what they were told by the angels. And it says that when they went and they left that place, they just went and told everyone about this. And my thought this morning, and that is, are we telling people about what Christmas is really about? Are we telling others that it's about Jesus? And I had to wonder, is when those people were coming through on Friday night, and when they would stop and and listen to us sing and you would see a smile or nod of appreciation, was that because that, and I think it is because, that there was a peace and joy that was coming from the face of these people that they found in this Jesus. You see, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill toward men. And I just believe that the peace that Jesus brings, and that we, if we can latch on to that, that we can show that to this world that's caught up in a commercialized Christmas, that it doesn't take much to be joyful on Christmas Day. It's about Jesus Christ. And then it says that Mary just kept all these things and pondered them in her hearts, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard. And then we have Simeon, another old man here, one over here in the verse, over here in the chapter. And he also recognizes this as the Creator coming to the create dead. And it says in, I think we'll start reading here in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus, due for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Okay, that's what Jesus means to us. We are the Gentiles, and Jesus, as the light came, that we can live in this light in the glory of thy people Israel. And then, of course, I already mentioned the wise men, that they had saw this star in the east, and they said, what does this mean? And they figured it out, and they followed it. And they came to the place where Jesus was, and they fell down there, and they worshiped him, and they presented him their treasures, because they realized this was not just the baby, this was the king. This was their king. This is our king. So what does this mean to you and I today? What is the birth of Jesus? What does that do for us? And I want to just go to John chapter 1. Just look at a few things here. Point number one is we no longer need to walk in darkness. You see, until Jesus came, the world was lost, and it was darkness. And whenever people realize that Jesus came, we have Simeon saying about this light, to lighten the Gentiles in the glory of the people of Israel. Jesus is the light. He says he is the life. In John, it says he is the life. And the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 7 talks about John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear. That light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Since the birth of Jesus Christ, every man has the opportunity to get hold of that light. And I think that that's what those people that walking through the mall, they could see that light on the faces of the children of light, you see. And that's what, it's available for everyone in that mall needed that light. And there was so much darkness I could see on people's faces. But that's what this baby, and that's what Simeon said, this is the light. This is who Jesus is, the light. Are we taking hold of that light? But it is our choice. You see, there's people that rejected the birth of Christ. I thought about Herod and that king that said, where is he at? I want to get rid of him. I want no part. So every man from the day that Jesus was born until now, every one of us has the opportunity to make a decision. What are we going to do with the light? Are we going to accept it or are we going to reject it? It is still a choice. Today, are you connected to the light? Are you walking in the light? The second thing in that is we can become sons and daughters of God. For we have that in verse 12. But as many as received him, as many as received the birth of Jesus Christ as a light and took hold of this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And that's what we can claim this morning. We can become a part of God. And we can become sons and daughters of God. And it says, which are born... And I'm going to say, which are born again, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born again, made new, transformed because of God and what God can do in us. But again, we need to choose it. And then the Most importantly, third thing here, and that is our sin can be taken away. And this is what fixes the problem between the creator and the created, this sin problem. And we have this in 1 John 1, verse 29. We have John speaking this of Jesus. This was after approximately 30 years probably after he was born. And we have John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See, that's what Jesus came for. He was that Lamb, and he came to take away the sins of the world. That is who he is, and that is the reason that we need to worship the Creator. Because if it wasn't for him coming as a baby, he would not have been able to take care of the sin problem between us. And then Jesus speaks in John chapter 3 about this, about what he is doing for mankind. John chapter 3, verse 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, here Jesus speaks of his death. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This Son came into the world because he loved us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but be reconnected to the Creator, you see. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither doth cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. This morning, are we coming to the light, and are we worshiping our Creator? O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. And may we use this Christmas time to worship our Creator and to point people to him. And let's focus on who Jesus really is versus the many commercialization that happens in the world about us and all the things they get caught up in. Can we just simply rejoice in the birth of Jesus Christ? Let us kneel for prayer.